Enoch took a stroll one day with the messages, him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just let him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home.
You know, we sing that song every time, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason, because society and the spirit of the age, they don't want us to keep our eyes focused on the era we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
They want to drag us into the completely erase every thought of God. It's in the atmosphere. It's out there all around you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, the devil don't want us to think about a rapture and about anything godly, but that's why we keep singing it. The Lord put it on our heart. Gave us that song some time back. And if you analyze it, it's just a way of yanking out the delusion of the world of deception that we're surrounded with. When you open your spiritual eyes, you know, and you look around you, it's all geared to deceive you and to lead you down and lull you to sleep. And that's why we keep singing that song, you know. He keeps leading us on. Keeps leading us on to that rapture, that blessed hope that the Bible talks about. And it says that we're supposed to remind ourselves of these things, that we should rejoice when we see these things happen, the wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all these different things happening all around the world. The Bible tells us to rejoice in it. But society and the world we're living in, it wants you to erase every thought of God. That's why the Lord gets us to see it over and over again. There's a lot more and there than meets the eye. No time to slow down, you know. So now I'll be heaven bound. That's the blessed hope that the Bible talks about. Be heaven bound. Be in that rapture. And as you're going out of here, then all hell starts breaking loose down here. And oh, it's a, think about your worst enemy. You don't even want him to be here when that time comes. That's why we're having these conversations, to try to wake up a lost and dying world, a world that's asleep, a world that has chosen to get out, to be in their comfort zone. That's just the way it is. We got to realize the era we're living in. Jesus warned about these things.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, that night is coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, you are weary, come earnestly, tenderly. Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though he has sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home.
There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
The way is still straight.
There's a race to be run. You can do as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross.
Matthew 24. I'll start verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives,
the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Told them there'll be not one stone left upon another when of that temple we're bragging about. And he asked him then, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? He asked him three questions here. And Jesus said unto them, here's what you're surrounded with now. Like it was Jesus taught, it wasn't some fly by night. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They'll say, I am Christ. I'm anointed. Yeah. Christ means the anointed one. And that's what he warned us. One of the first things he warned us about, this mass of deception out there. When you step back and you look around you, everything is geared for deception. That Pope that they made, there are millions of people there celebrating this Pope, this new Pope, and mm-hmm. he's nothing but a douchebag. He's got a very poor record. He will eventually evolve into, and the world is going to see it, that man of sin that the Bible talks mm-hmm. about. You and I, we have it right. I mean, if it was for you and I, we're the only lone voice in this wilderness here that tells people the truth. There's a lot of people I listen sometimes. I listened to one guy yesterday. He was pretty good. He had it right. Who that Pope was, and he had a lot of scriptures right. But like you were saying, there's one thing he missed. One of the main ingredients for the Laodicean church age is that Malachi 4 prophet. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. They missed that. Behold, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. He keeps saying it over and over again. He was the voice of the angel. These two men, Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, for the 20th century, they stand out like pillars. Like if you took a bird's eye view, like when you drive into a city, and there's these high buildings, they tower over everything else, and all you see in the landscape is these two buildings that stand up tall. And here in this 20th century, in the church age of Laodicea, ever since 1906, these two men, they stick out like pillars. Mm-hmm. And we look up to them because they were what God ordained to be, because we went back and we saw the scriptures and we saw what their importance was. Mm-hmm. They were that voice of that angel, and we never for one moment worshiped the people, the man, but we recognize God's principle. He mm-hmm. has a principle that he's going to operate throughout the grace age. And here it is end time. He's got Brother Branham, and then when he went out to sing, that angel used the vocal cords of Brother Jackson, and then they had it right. And we recognize that. Mm-hmm. That's why we're the only ones that can tell the truth. We're that lone voice in the wilderness telling people the full counsel of God. Mm-hmm. We got it all together here.
And it's not like they're going to come and say, I'm Christ, I'm Christ. But they're going to be preaching. And like it says here in Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonder, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, they come on and they have an anointing on them. They do, because these seducing spirits and the doctrines of devil have an anointing, and they're able to sway you. And and some things they have right, like you were saying yesterday, the devil doesn't come on with a full blatant lie. He takes something mm-hmm. that is true and then he perverts it, just like he did with that water baptism. He took that water baptism and perverted it into that Trinity water baptism. And that's what you see in all the masses of Christianity today. If they had not followed the stream of God, what he was doing at the Reformation, that Catholic system was dealt a deadly wound. And because of it, truth was restored. The just shall live by faith. They had sewn everything, like you will see now. You can see how it functioned back in the Dark Ages. Like even the Protestants fall down at the feet of that mm-hmm. papal system now. You when you will hear them talking, the way they talk about it, almost like it is something. But we know what Martin Luther did. He wrote up 95 theses against the Catholic Church, and these were things that he found wrong with that system. And before that, there were the pre-Reformation, there was Huss and Wycliffe. They did the same thing. They spoke up what was wrong with the Catholic Church. And now it's all coming together, and they call it the World Council of Churches. They made an image to the beast, mm-hmm. and they don't even realize it. But that spirit had so deceived it, because in the 1900s, they realized how divided they were. With all these doctrines that God had restored, they created a great division, because they did not see the purpose of what God was doing. He was restoring it. Every time a truth was restored, you grab a hold of it. And take and it's given to you, but they all denominized, and they formed a synagogue of Satan. And what happened then? It all of a sudden dawned on them how divided the Protestants are, and they said, "You know what? We have to mend our differences. You know, even though we have differences, let us unify." Mm-hmm. Let us come together and unify. So that's what created the World Council of Churches. And that's the deception of it all, is then in the 60s, when God was wanting to bring them back to the Word, what they did is they rejected Him. And then in the 60s, there was a call going out from the Pope himself, let us unify. And he was calling all these harlots home to mama.
See, you couldn't have done that here in America if they would have accepted
no.
the prophet. That's why we recognize that God sent their prophet. That's our anchor, because it's a principle that God had, and we know what the penalty was when they rejected it. That's why we, mm-hmm. you cannot shake us away from the fact that God sent their prophet mm-hmm. here in this 20th century. And because we see the fallout, what happens when you do reject it?
Mm-hmm.
And look at America today. That's because they rejected the prophet. We keep saying it over and over again. And like I say, like I told you yesterday, I was caught up in that and that same spirit that's out there now. That's that delusion,
seducing spirits.
The seducing mm-hmm. spirits. I was caught up in it, but I could not be caught up in. I had not everything that I was caught up in was wrong. There was some things in there that was true, that I prophesied that I was true, because I know what my calling is. I know what God has called me to be back in the day when He gave me that my commission. Same, I have set you as a watchman, just like Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a watchman. He was a prophet of God. That I don't like to say them things. They have to say that. But in that, I was so immature, what I was trying to say yesterday. Not everything that I said was wrong. There was some truths in there when I saw these young couple committing adultery. It was 100% accurate. But then Satan infiltrated it, and then see, all he does, he takes what's real and perverts it. And then all of a sudden, everybody just sees me as this guy that's caught up in this false seducing spirit. And it's the same thing. Here I made one statement. I think I said it once. Maybe I said it twice. Say, the way I figure, if I would go by numbers, I would say the rapture will be before my birthday. Mm-hmm. If I went by the 777. But I said, it will not happen until that man of sin is revealed and he kills these two witnesses. But see what they hang on to for dear life. Oh, he said it's going to happen in April. And that's what the emails are getting back. Now, they throw everything out there, you know. They throw everything away. Just like Brother Brennan back in the day, the prophet to the eight. He said, if I am right, it should happen about by 1977. The end of the grace age. Mm-hmm. And, well, 77 came and went, and nothing happened. And then Brother Jack comes along, the apostle of the age, and he said, it'll be 2004 if, but if, he said that if in there, mm-hmm. if the column is right. He said it'll be out in maybe about 2 years. Mm-hmm. Well, are you going to take what he said and just discard everything that he said that was true? He said, if the column is right, and it might be out by 2 years. And what people did, they went and took that as verbatim, as the gospel truth, instead of going back to the scripture and check it out. See, when I went back to the scripture, and I went to, when I heard him say that with my own ears, when I heard him say it, I knew it's not going to be happening mm-hmm. in 2004 and a half, and I know it's not going to happen in 2006 and a half, because I could see by the Spirit it's going to be way beyond that. And here people went out and they did the math and they figured they got enough money, so they retired. And now all of a sudden everybody's running out of money because they retired too soon. Mm-hmm. They took what he said instead of listening to what the Spirit of God said. And then see, like you, people look at me the same way. Now, everything that I ever said, they just threw it out. Mm-hmm. They discard. Well, we said it'll be sometime in April. Well, it didn't happen. But they didn't hear me say it will happen, not happen until that man of sin is revealed. And he kills those two witnesses. Now we know, we pretty much know that that's that man of sin, because we know the hour we're living in. Unless he gets assassinated. He's not that old. He's only, what, 65 or something?
69.
He's still got a lot of spunk left. And he'll probably be that man of sin. And it's all according to what we know about the hour we're living mm-hmm. in. We know what I'm trying to say. But I don't want to get off the topic, because I want to talk about this deception that we're surrounded mm-hmm. there. This evil, this massive weaponry of deception. Now, no matter who you listen to, like we listened to that guy yesterday, and I found him to be pretty interesting until he began to say things that we knew were not true. Mm-hmm. And he's got thousands of people listening to him. I think he's from North Carolina. And you look at the crowd, they cheer when he talks. But he's so far, he's part of that nucleus of people that you were saying earlier. They're nothing but evolved into synagogues of Satan. But if I went into that crowd and told them that that guy is not for real, and this here is nothing but a synagogue of Satan, believe you me, they would throw me out in a heartbeat. Because he's off the word.
They never go to the root problem. Like when you will trace it back to Roman Catholicism, you always have to trace it back to 325 A.D. Mm-hmm. That's what the devil used to organize this church, Roman Catholicism.
It's the birth of the Catholic
Church.
That's
right. So if people don't go back to 325 A.D., you will know that they're still baptizing in the Trinity.
Yeah.
You can always, the way people talk and where they will lead you in that sermon, you will find out that the root problem is always Nicaea, Rome. Because mm-hmm. it will always point you to there, because that's where the baptism and the God was distorted. And that's what the devil's aim was from the very beginning there. He was already setting his sights on that. But it took him till 325 AD to get the job done.
Yeah.
But he, at the early church yeah. there already.
When the process.
That's right. When Paul was still here, he said there's wolves. John talks about false Christs have gone out. And that spirit was already working. And then you can also read it with the white horse rider that was set out to ride and deceive in the book of Revelation. That was in the early church there already. That white horse rider started to go out to deceive. And then when you go to the parable where Jesus is the good sower, and then the enemy came and sowed tares. See, these all walk hand in hand, and you can see what the devil's aim was. He was looking at 325 AD where he was going to change that water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins to that Trinity counterfeit false phony baptism. And no matter if people do not accept it, they're part of that system. They can never advance on in the things of God because it's just the way it is.
Like you were saying, it was a process. Like, like you're going down one road now. There's one path. But somewhere up the road, there comes a fork in the road.
That's right.
You got to make a decision. When you come to that fork, am I going to right or am I going to go left? Well, Satan was beginning to work, like you were saying. The early apostle said, Paul said, after our departure, grievous wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. Mm-hmm. And Satan was already at work, like you were saying. John was saying, many antichrists have gone out in the world. And that work, they were working overtime to get the church pervert and take away that Acts 2:38 water baptism by repentance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by immersion. It took away that and it began to work. Like it took them 300 years practically, and then 325 comes around, and there Constantine, that emperor, he called for council, and from now on, we're going to baptize. Mm-hmm. And the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the birth of the Roman Catholic Church. You won't hear us say that it started in 500 like that guy said yesterday.
No.
It started right there, 325 AD, that Nicaea Rome, when he had all these bishops come together and they had this great big conference, council. And when the end of it was, from now on, it's state law, you will be baptized in the title of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that's what Satan was after. But he's been, when the early church, when Paul said, after our departure, grievous wolves were coming, he began to work this mechanism. And now,
of deception.
Finally succeeded.
And that's what this world is encased in, is this deception. And you cannot tell these people that. Like, they will say, a lot of them will say, Constantine was converted to Christianity, but he wasn't. It was the devil using Constantine to get that order into the church. Do you think he could have used a guy off the street or a pope or a bishop? He couldn't do that. He had to use a renowned man that was high up in the ranks of society, that had authority and power. That's who he used, and to put it in. Like, these bishops were always bickering and fighting over things. They were so
divided.
Divided already. And when they had that council, that's what the devil used. He used Constantine. He didn't convert to Christianity. He served his pagan gods. That's why he brought these holidays over to paganism. And the people still do it today. And that's where the deception lies. All this religious deception that is out there is because they have not followed the truths of God's word. And they're all going back to Roman Catholicism. In the end, that's where it all will always lead you to. Because if you don't follow what God has. That's why we want people to realize that God did send a prophet to this age. And what did he send him for and why? So that we cannot be deceived. So we'd have the word of God to as our guide, as our lamp and our light. So, and then he continued with Raymond M. Jackson. It did not stop with Brother Brenham. The Brenhamites, that's where they stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
The Lutherans, that's where they stopped. The Wesleys at the Methodists, that's where they stopped. But God is ongoing. And if you don't continuing on, you're missing out on the revelation that God is restoring as he continues on. Like when Brother Brenham died, that revelation continued. But he was using Raymond M. Jackson to bring out the truths that were needed for us to come back to the Word of God, so we are not, so these seducing spirits and these doctrines of devils out there cannot deceive us.
Then you continue with the Sam and Lorenz chapter. Mm-hmm. I keep saying it over and over again. I should be the last person that has to say that because it sounds like you're begging on yourself. But see, God has a principle. He does things on trees. And when Brother Jackson passed away, we didn't know what's going on. I sure mm-hmm. didn't. And then the Lord gave me that vision about Gideon. I'm taking the church down to the water now. I'm going to check them. I'm going to test them. We were all being tested to do what? To see who is then that faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has found faithful to deliver meat in due season. And I didn't know that you are given the same extent that I was. He told me later on that, yeah, when I told you and shared with you that the Lord gave me that example, right? And the most important thing was, where do you put that rapture? You put it in the first part of the week, or you put it in the last part of the week? Well, I put it in all that last part of the week. I could not put it before 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That man of sin has to be revealed, and he's not killing the prophet until the last part of the week. Well, I couldn't put that rapture. And see, that's why how we were tested. And then once he found us faithful and wise, then now he's given us the right to say the things we're saying. And then as time went on, he gave us the midnight cry. At midnight, there was a cry. Everybody was waiting to bring out their revelation. And they brought, Alan's gate comes out with his phony revelation, we're in the third day. And he even put it out in print. And then after comes out, after 2 days. See, they were trying to, like a race towards seeing who's going to bring out the next revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're phony. They're of the devil. Their revelation is not of God, because we know we're not in the third day. And at the time they said after 2 days, we know we were not after 2 days. And that's how that mode of deception works. Now here, you only got the two of us that's left to be that lone voice in the wilderness to tell people the truth. I wouldn't want to live here on planet Earth if I didn't know the truth. You know, mm-hmm. it'd be pointless. If I didn't know the hour we're living in. Because if you don't know the hour you're living in, then you can't put the pieces together. You cannot put scripture together. But once you know the hour you're living in, you can put exactly where we are in time. And then everything falls together then.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to this one guy yesterday about Canada. And he was saying that the Canadian economy is not doing very good. Unless something will change rapidly, but it's not in a good state, the Canadian economy. And a lot of people that voted for that Carney guy is the older generation. I really have not much hope for the older generation. Mm-hmm. They're the generation that actually rejected the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And his message to go back to the Word of God. And you will see the older generation, when you will look at them, the way they dress, they have no virtue. There's no, like a lot of them, I'm not speaking on all of them now, but a lot of them. And you look at the way they dress, and they have no purpose in life. Like, that's what gives us purpose in life, is this truth here. And a reason for living is because it fills you with a vision and a hope. And with it comes living a life that is pleasing to God, like virtue, and being ethical, and these things all come with it. Like, I have a lot more hope for the younger generation, because they see what is missing in society. They can't afford a home. They can't afford a vehicle. They can't afford to have a family. Why? It's because this liberal government has taken everything away mm-hmm. from people. And the older generation, they don't care. They've got their money in their banks. They've got everything they want, their life of ease. They don't care anymore. You're going to retire, and most of them are retired already, so they don't really care. But the younger generation is seeing what they're not having in
life. They have no future.
That's right. They have no future. And that's why we keep going over these things. That's in the natural. Mm-hmm. But in the spiritual, like, we want people to have that blessed hope of what God has been doing in this generation, so it's not robbed for this generation to know the great things that God does and can do, and He will do. That's why I have a great hope for the younger generation, because that is the generation that God is going to select to go into the millennium age. He's not going to get that old generation.
It's like coming through the wilderness.
That's
like,
right.
He couldn't trust these old guys. They died in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And he took the younger generation in there.
Mm-hmm. So I was listening to that, and then you can kind of piece it together when you hear somebody talking about the natural things, about the economy, for example, and the way people voted, the statistics of the older generation, how they voted for liberal because they wanted to get away from Trump. Mm-hmm. And then they thought Carney was their savior of doing that. And all in the while, they missed the whole concept and the principles of what these liberals do to a country, and they destroy it. They just bring it down to the bare bone so that this younger generation have nothing left. But in all, God is going to use these younger generation to get them into the millennium for repopulate, and then they're going to have their family. But it's a process. But these people have made a decision now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a good decision. Like, for the older generation, it's not a good decision. But for the younger generation, it is. They actually have a future, and they don't really know it themselves, even though the liberals are in there. But that's bringing it into the spiritual. That's why we go over this so many times, what God has done when He had a prophet to this age, when He had Raymond M. Jackson, apostle ministry to this age, to restore what those canker worms and those caterpillar, the locusts, and all these systems have taken from people.
And it's still active today.
It is.
Just bringing it out. And like I say, I should be the last person that's saying this. But then when Brother Jackson went off the scene, he found you and me faithful to continue with that work here. And now, what does he do? He gives us the revelation of the time and the day and hour we're living in. When he gave us that midnight cry, then the rest you can piece it together, and you can walk right through the scripture. It's going to happen. And we was saying, we're waiting for that man of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're waiting for him to get rid of those two witnesses and Israel. And when he does that, from then on, then the rapture's on any time. But it cannot happen until that man of sin is revealed by killing those two witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
These witnesses, they have to be resurrected. And then after they're resurrected, the rapture is on any time. And you'll see the dead in Christ rise. And then you'll see the body change. And all of a sudden, we'll meet them in the air. We have the program.
Mm-hmm.
But the world out there does not have that program. And we have a hope. We can put our trust in the Word of God. Because the Lord gave us the revelation of that midnight cry. Like I say, once you have that, you cannot be deceived. You're down solid. And then that's what Jesus was talking about when he said the deception will be so great. Because out there, they don't have that anchor that you and I have. They don't have the midnight cry. So it's easily to deceive them. And like I listened to that preacher yesterday on YouTube, and he was pretty good. I even told you that he's got some pretty good scriptures here. But then he comes out with he had a Pope thing wrong. And when you're off on one, and I thought to myself, simply because you do not have that prophet. If you had the ministry of Brother Branham to keep you in line, you wouldn't say the things you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't even know. And all these people in the back, they're cheering him on, you know, and like everything he said was absolute. But it wasn't. I couldn't see him into what he was preaching because he was off the Word. And you cannot be on the Word if you reject those seven stars, if you reject message to the Laodicea Church Age. You will be off the Word eventually, no matter how good you preach. Eventually you just say something that'll send you out to hell and death, because it's all just a bunch of synagogues of Satan. it'll evolve into that, mm-hmm. because the Bible says so. If God would not have given us the truth, if God would not have given us this ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, everybody would have evolved into a sodomite lifestyle, mm-hmm. because that's what the Bible says. If God would not have given us a seed, we would all have become like Sodom and would have evolved into Gomorrah. Because Satan, that's the only hope we have, is in this end time mm-hmm. truth. And if you don't have that, you're out there like a floppy disk, you
that's
know.
Right.
You got nothing to anchor yourself down on.
And people, they will quote the scripture in Hebrew, God in sundry times and in diverse manner spoke in times past to prophets, and in these last days through his son Jesus Christ. And then that's all they will focus on is Jesus Christ. They will say, if God wants to speak to me himself.
Yeah.
And Jesus will speak to me. But when you will look through history, how God used Paul,
mm-hmm.
he was a chosen vessel to bear the name of Jesus to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And then he continued with Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Martin Luther. Now, if it wouldn't have been for Martin Luther restoring the truth, the just shall live by faith, we would still all be in the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
But God used a vessel. He used Martin Luther to yank us out of the Dark Ages with a restored truth, the just shall live by faith. And then he brought us further into the light with Calvin, Knox, and Wesley. And then further into the light with the ministry of Brother Branham. That's why we always say God uses a vessel, and people just cannot take it. When we mention that name, the devil just squirms, because he knows that if we direct people to what was restored through this ministry, because Brother Branham brought all these truths together.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought them all together, what God restored through Luther and Knox and Calvin and Wesley, and the oneness, the Pentecost, all these, he brought them all together and formed a beautiful picture of what God has been doing. And people don't have that, and we want people to see what God has been doing. Otherwise, you're going to be deceived. And God uses a vessel. That's why you said when Brother Jackson went off the scene, he had to continue using somebody to speak truth, mm-hmm. To know what God has been doing throughout the ages. And that's when he had us to start this website and put it out there so people have something to hold on to.
See, you and I are the only two people that found out what God was doing when he took Brother Jackson off mm-hmm. the scene. The rest of them, they don't even know what happened. And each one of them went out and did their own little thing for their own little cult and had their own little opinion. But here we saw exactly what God was doing, because he gave me the vision of taking the church down to the water. And then after that, he gave me the dream about the minefield. All these people that were sitting under Brother Jackson, all these people will become minefields now. They'll take and what Brother Jackson, and they'll pervert it, and they'll completely, before long, it won't even look like anything Brother Jackson ever said.
Mm-hmm.
They're like that minefield to destroy everything that he ever said. And here, you and I, when he asked him, Lord, why did you put us together? He said, to preserve this truth. That's all we're doing. We're just preserving a truth that's been given to us, and then the Lord keeps adding on to it, and he added on, like I said, that midnight cry. Without that midnight cry, you'll just be like everybody else out there taking pot shots, mm-hmm. and eventually you'll find out you're off course. But see, we have something to anchor ourselves in. We have that truth, and we have that full counsel of God. We can take you from Genesis to Revelation and walk through the scriptures without even missing a beat. We know exactly what happened throughout the Dark Ages. We know exactly what God was doing. Now, all you got to do now out there is seeding time. Everybody, we go drive out in the country. Everybody's out there putting the crop in, you know. And you just take, for example, that kernel of corn. And then that corn is in the ground, and then it rots in there, and that represents the dark ages. That word of God lay in there dormant, and then it started sprouting through the Reformation, Martin Luther, the 1500, and now you see that corn coming up, and then that tassel, and then you see that corn coming to maturity, and here now that corn is going to produce exactly, that last church will be exactly what that first church was like. Just take a look at nature. Like I say, take a look at that corn stalk. It starts rotting, it starts drying up, and all that's left at the end of the day is that kernel of corn that went in the ground. Mm-hmm. And nature tells us these things. Nature preaches us. But here it's just once a year, every year like that. But here it's a 2,000 year span, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like the seed went in the ground, and like I say, and then it came up and started sprouting. It lay in there throughout the dark ages, and then through the ministry of Martin Luther, the Just to Live by Faith, it started bearing root. Just go out there and look at that corn stalk, mm-hmm. how it'll grow. And in the fall time, you go out there and you pick the corn, and then you'll have corn to eat. That's exactly what has been going on in the last 2,000 years. Like I say, from here, you're going to read, you're going to hear what happened from Genesis to Revelation. You'll hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Without this truth, I wouldn't want to live here in this planet Earth. It'll be so confusing. But see, you and I, we're not confused. We know exactly what's coming next. We know exactly what's about to take place. Because we had that George Washington vision, we have all the scripture and all these things that keeps us intact, that keeps us entertained with the truth,
mm-hmm.
so that we cannot be deceived. We're one of those people that Jesus said, if it would be possible, the very elect would be deceived. Because we're hanging on to those seven stars that Jesus said he's going to work through throughout the grace age. He said, this is eternal life, that they believe on them and my will say. He sent these seven angels. And then he said, each angel had a voice, like I say, in the days of the voice. They all were voices of these angels. And they got that, you can't go wrong. That's our anchor. That's what we hold on to. That's why we keep saying Brother Brent, Brother Jackson, the two pillars that stand out in the 20th century. And we're just keeping, like the Lord told, we're just keeping a line on what we've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
We can just keep it a line on the truth. Because we can't do nothing else. And it's just such a relief to know that there's still somebody here that's still on course, that's still not sold out to the things of this world, that have decided, Lord, use us for your glory. Use us because there's nothing in us that has any value. Before you know it, if we use our own thing, we'll end up exactly where Fred Cormier, where Alan is. We'll say something that's completely off the path. That's just the way it is. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for another day of life, for the many things you do, and the many things you allow us to see, Lord. Most of all, in these closing days of time where deception is so great, Lord, it would even deceive the very elect. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us an anchor and given us the ministry of these two great men, Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, Lord. We just pray you'll just can you do with us as you see fit, Lord. Give us that something to talk about on a day-to-day basis, Lord. Most of all, Lord, I pray you'll give that increase. Anoint the people that might hear someday that it's not us speaking, it's you speaking through our vocal cords, Lord. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.